We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. This is Coach Speak on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome to Coach Speak, live from the Elo Fiber Studios. Lot on the show today. We have Casey Miller, the University of High baseball coach. We have Rick Meese, golf coach out at Resurrection Christian. And man, do we have a lot of things to talk about this past weekend. First of all, congratulations to Andrew Alaris, national champion. That's just those two words, national champion. Put that into perspective. You know, so much goes into, you know, the NCAA's basketball, and I'm right at the top of that list. Just can't wait to see all those games. But only one champion is crowned, and in the weight division, Andrew Alaris of Northern Colorado, a Greeley Central graduate. Boy, Greeley, you should be proud of this kid because he's done it the right way. He's advanced all the way to become a national champion, and I know he's going to be on the whole show later today, but congratulations there. So much happening over the weekend with the NCAA tournament. High school, hey, there was a lot of track meets out there, a lot of baseball. We're going to go over some of the baseball scores as well. If you were flipping channels possibly last night, you also tuned into the World Baseball Classic. This past week, been some exciting games. The United States advances to the championship game to take on tonight's winner between Mexico, who defeated the U.S. earlier in round robin play, and Japan. Ohshei Ohtani and his team. But what a great event. The U.S. has done a great job of getting a lot of their position players on that team to compete in this World Baseball Classic. Some of the great pitchers are missing. It's always a combination of working with the major league teams to get these guys out of spring training into the World Baseball Classic. But job well done, and tomorrow night is the championship game of the World Baseball Classic. High school baseball. Let's go there for a little bit before we bring on Casey Miller later in the program. But let's review some scores from this past week. Local scores. Windsor defeated Peak to Peak 10-0. Nice start for the Wizards. Of course, they're coming off a terrific basketball season in both their men's and women's programs. And now a lot of these kids are involved in track baseball. So congratulations to the Wizards on their win over Peak to Peak. Grand Junction defeated Greeley West 10-1, rough start for the Spartans. Fort Collins off to a nice start. They split over the weekend, but they had a nice win over Dakota Ridge last week, 8-3. Grand Junction Central came over to Northern Colorado to take on a few teams, and one of those was Timnath. It's got to be really tough for Timnath with only freshmen and sophomores to play a varsity baseball schedule. They get shut out by Grand Junction Central 14-0. You know, baseball may be one of those toughest sports to compete in with only freshmen and sophomores. The arms aren't developed. The bat speed isn't quite there. But Timnath off to a rough start, but they have to look at that half full glass, knowing that they're going to be having everybody returning here for a couple of years and progress into that varsity level where they can compete. Grand Junction Central defeated Greeley West 12-2. Platte Valley, boy, did they get a nice pitching performance over Greeley Central. They shut out the Wildcats 4-0 in high school baseball play. And while we're talking about those scores, I want to thank Buildings by Design, our sponsor, out in Brush, Colorado. Want to thank them for more information. Go to buildingsbydesign.com. Also, text us if we're missing some scores or you have some certain performances that you would like to bring to our attention on Coach Speak. Would love to hear from you via our Mosier text line, Mosier and Funeral Cremation Services. That text line, 888-530-0043. You know, we want to thank Mosier. Death is inevitable. Make it a little easier on your loved ones by pre-planning with the only locally owned and operated funeral home in northern Colorado. Again, text us at 888-530-0043. Back to some scores. Nice pitching performance by Loveland, but they come up short. They fall to Far East Northeast 3-2. Fossil gets an impressive win over Arvada West. Kind of a run, you know. Emphasis on the bats in this one as Fossil defeats A West 11-7. Windsor with another win Saturday over Montezuma Cortez. The Wizards outlast Montezuma 9-8. And A West, who from the Jefferson County League came down to take on both Fossil and Fort Collins, defeating Fort Collins Lampkins and losing to Fossil Ridge. That A West score over Fort Collins was 10-3. We're going to be talking to Casey Miller, but what a nice start. They go over to the Western Slope. I believe that's where they played, Western area part of the Colorado, and they defeat Bayfield, one of those teams so often in the postseason, but they get off to a great start. They beat Bayfield 12-1, and then they take on Delta, shut Delta out 10-0, and then they take on, I think it was Montezuma. We'll check with Casey, but big win 18-4. So the Bulldogs, one of the, you know, favorites, obviously, along with Eaton. Eaton is the favorite. They are defending state champions. But University gets off to a nice 3-0 start. Also locally, Day Spring fell to Lyman 12-6. So that's some of the baseball wrap-up as far as high schools. Taking place today locally, Eaton opens up, and they will host Roosevelt at 4 o'clock. The Rough Riders have two games under their belt, and they are currently 1-1 going into the game today with the Eaton Reds. Thompson Valley, currently 0-1. They will travel to Holy Family to take on, of course, the state champions of both boys and girls basketball, and they will be a team to be reckoned with in baseball as well in that classification. Thompson Valley 0-1 takes on 1-1 Holy Family. And then two teams that are opening up today, Berthoud and Northridge. So Northridge hosts Berthoud. So a lot of action going on in baseball and high school. A lot of track going on. And again, text us at 888-530-0043. Well, let's briefly talk about the NCAA tournament. Just last Thursday, everybody's brackets looked really good. And then the first day happens and they come crashing down. But two number one seeds already out. A number 11 and a number 15 advancing to the Final Four. But let's look at some of these, future games. Alabama will take on, out of the Mountain West, San Diego State. San Diego State, people have questioned, you know, will the Mountain West advance any teams? I think Kevin Lytle put out the over-under on amount of wins by the in by the Mountain West Conference at 2.5. Well, San Diego State advances. They will be in the Sweet 16 versus Alabama. One of the more interesting games that will take place will be Creighton as the Princeton Tigers advance out of the Ivy League. I think a lot of people have that perception that the Ivy League, you know, a bunch of smart guys, okay basketball players, but maybe not to the level of elite. Well, the Ivy League is a big surprise, but they have players. Princeton with some impressive wins. Coming out, obviously, the defeat over Arizona the first round broke a lot of brackets, but the Tigers are for real. Creighton will play Princeton. Florida Atlantic at Tennessee. Tennessee, I think, surprised a lot of people. A lot of people had Duke advancing, and Tennessee, one of the top defensive teams in the country, advances. And then we have Arkansas and Michigan State. Tom Izzo seems to have a way to get it done, you know, with the Spartans. Houston, they've had their struggles somewhat, but they continue just to win and advance. And they will play Miami. Miami, maybe a surprise team to some with their win over Indiana, but Miami, very athletic team and very, very well coached. Xavier sneaks by Iowa State, they sneak by Kennesaw State, and then defeated Pittsburgh, who had beat Iowa State in a surprise game. But Xavier and Texas looks like a team to be reckoned with. Arkansas will take on UConn later. That's Danny Hurley's team. Boy, what a basketball family with their dad Bob, the iconic coach of St. Anthony's in the many years that they won national high school championships. His brother, Bobby, the head coach at Arizona State, had a chance to watch the TCU Arizona State at Ball Arena, and just a terrific game. But of course, TCU advanced before losing to Gonzaga. And I think this next game, Thursday night, the late game, Gonzaga, UCLA, what a great matchup of West Coast teams that's going to be, but that should be a fun one. We're going to come back after this break and talk to Casey Miller. More high school baseball right around the corner. This is Coach Speak. Welcome back to Coach Speak. Man, what a weekend we had in all of sports. You know, I heard Brian and Tanner talking about the Nuggets and, you know, their wins and their losses and good wins and bad losses. But do we care about the Nuggets until the NCAA is over? That's just a question I want to throw out there. But we're going to continue now to talk about a little high school baseball. And with us on the line now is Casey Miller, the head coach of the University of Bulldogs. And what a program he's put together out at University on the Diamond. But, Coach, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing this morning, Coach?
Doing really good. I know you're consumed with your own team right now, okay, and off to a great start. A little road trip for you guys to start the season, huh?
Yeah, we opened up over in the Western Slope last Thursday and Friday. We loaded up the bus Thursday morning about 7 a.m., and we drove over to Montrose. During that road trip, our game got canceled, and then it got moved over to Delta. So we opened up at Montrose at Delta on Thursday afternoon.
Okay, so that was your 18-4 win.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yep. So that was your opener. Man, tell us 18 runs. Obviously, the bats were clicking, but tell us some of the highlights in that first game.
The biggest thing I guess I noticed was just the way that we came out and we swung it. First game of the year, it kind of always seems how pitchers are ahead early just because we haven't seen a lot of live pitching. But we had 16 RBI in that game, tons of base hits, tons of extra base hits. And I guess the biggest thing was maybe just timely hitting. We hit when it mattered. We extended innings when there were two outs. And then on top of that, Riggs Tal came out and just threw a gem for us on the mound.
Well, Riggs, you know, coming off an impressive season a year ago, you know, tell us some of the advances and even improvements of like guys like Riggs and some of your other guys that got a lot of varsity time last year.
Well, Riggs, he's going into his senior year, and he's committed to Linfield University out there in Oregon.
Nice.
And I can see it within the last year, his maturity level, how serious he takes his craft now. And like I said, we were stuck on a bus for 8 hours on Thursday. And about that last final hour into Delta, I looked at the back of the bus, and the look on Riggs' face was a look that I've never seen before. He was just locked in. He was focused. And then his performance was kind of took advantage of he just did a really good job locking in for the game.
That's awesome. You know, Coach, you know, years ago, guys would never have determined where they would have gone to college, even possibly entering their senior year. And now with the early commitments, that's just the thing that happens, you know, more often than not. But do you find it with some of your guys that once that pressure's off, that they've committed to a college, they start to just lock in more?
Yeah, I can see that end of things. We've also had some guys not sign until really late, and they kind of want to give themselves a chance that senior year just to kind of maybe bring some other colleges into the mix. But I think the decision that Riggs made to sign early, I think that was perfect for him.
So, Coach, you played two other games. You beat Delta 10-0, and I believe it was Bayfield 12-1. Talk to us a little about those games as well.
So on Friday morning, we opened up with Bayfield at 11 o'clock. And as you mentioned earlier, Bayfield's one of those perennial teams that we see over at Butch Butler. I remember watching them last year against Sterling. Knew they were going to be a solid team this year. And so going over there, I just knew that we were going to run into three solid programs at Montrose, Bayfield, and Delta. And that's exactly what we got. Bayfield was a good team. And fortunately, we just ended up on top with them.
You dominated on both sides of the ball. You know, defense, you know, obviously you got great pitching. Who pitched for you those other 2 days? A combination of guys, I assume?
That was the intention going into it. We had six arms ready. Early in the year, we were just going to split games. Riggs had a complete game against Montrose, and then Caleb Tejada started the second game versus Bayfield, and we took him up to just the pitch count that we had in our heads. And then Corey Kaler, he's a senior left-hand pitcher, he came in and closed out that first game, and then he actually started against Delta.
And I love that when a kid comes in, finishes a game, and gets a start. I think I love it because I had a chance to do that a little bit, you know, in college. But tell us about Corey. We haven't heard a lot about Corey, so fill us in.
Corey, like I said, he's a left-hand pitcher. He's a senior. He'll play first base for us when Riggs is on the bump. He's just your typical lefty. He's not going to blow gas by anybody, but he can command his fastball. And those lefties, they always get that unique movement. They get run, and they get that baseball to move both ways. He can throw multiple pitches for strikes, and he just had a really good demeanor about him, and might have missed some calls behind the plate. He just got the baseball right back, and he went back to work. He just did a really good job for us.
Well, Coach, I'm going to throw this out to our audience as well, but KFK obviously going to Tanner's, going to be covering a lot of baseball games live this year in Northern Colorado. We're actually going to put it on KFK Twitter on People Weekly to vote to possibly see what games will be covered later in the week, but I think one of the first ones possibly covered will be your Northridge game this Thursday. Now, I'm not going to let you get ahead because you have Mountain View Wednesday. Talk about that matchup a little bit. And I don't think Mountain View's played a game yet. Is that correct?
To my knowledge, we will be their opener. So we're going over there on Wednesday. Anytime that you play those 4A teams, and I'm pretty close with Coach Smella over there. He does a great job with that program. So I know they're always going to be prepared. They play the game the right way, and they do everything well. They're going to hit well, they're going to pitch well, and they'll play defense as well. So I'm just looking forward to that challenge for us as a team.
And then you turn around right after that and go over to Northridge, another 4A team.
Yes, I know Northridge. They're athletic this year. They play the game fast. They have some big arms. A lot of our kids play travel ball or play club baseball with their kids. So there's a lot of relationships that take place between the University Bulldogs and the Northridge Grizzlies. So early on, that's going to be a really good test to see where we are, because I know how good Northridge is. And so I'm looking forward to having that opportunity once we hopefully take care of business with Mountain View.
Well, you know, ironically, with the weather the way it's been, baseball's been able to get in more games maybe than we anticipated here. It's been cold, but the moisture has stayed away so far.
Yeah, and I guess that's just what, with this winter, we can't take much more moisture. Our field was covered from late December till about opening day, February 27th. So our athletic director over at University, Ryan Weirman, he got out on the field the week before we started, and he pushed some snow off the outfield for us so we could at least use the outfield that first week. And since then, knock on wood, the weather's been okay. So hopefully it keeps on working in our favor.
Coach, how do you handle these early season practices and workouts? Obviously, I know some of your guys just finished playing basketball not long ago, but it's so difficult to get outside. This has been an unusually cold, winter. I can remember past years, you'd get some breaks even in February and have some great days. That just hasn't happened this year. How have you handled that as a program, practice-wise?
Well, you just have to be creative, and it's something that we tell our players, and I'm sure every coaching staff tells their players, but in my opinion, we are the best indoor team in the state just because we get so much practice, and we have a couple gyms over there that we have access to. And so, in my opinion, we utilize that space as well as possible. We do defense. We do pitching stuff. We find ways to do different hitting stuff. But we just utilize our indoor space.
That's terrific, and being creative. If you're a high school coach, it leads to creativity, no matter what sport you're involved in. But coach, let's talk about the Patriot League a little bit. Obviously the elite league in Colorado in the 3A division. Talk about some of the teams and some of the players, obviously, that you want the audience to be well aware of.
Well, just like everybody else has been talking, we all know that Eaton's coming back. They're going to be really good this year. They've got tons of solid players, good leaders over there, and Walker Martin, Tate Smith, Ryder True, just fully loaded, good quality baseball team. So we're going to work our tails off just to compete with them when that time comes. Right now, really, we're worried about ourselves, but other teams to kind of be on the lookout in the Patriot League. I think Resurrection's going to be really good this year. Sterling's always been solid. And then it's just like you said, it's a power-packed conference, and there's probably going to be a team or two that surprises us as well. I know Highland's 3-1 right now. They just jumped up with us. So.
And Coach, has the schedule changed, or is it the same as last year? Do you guys play everybody just once in league?
That's all we do this year. Since the Patriot League grew, bringing in some teams, the Highlands, the Timnits, the Wellingtons, Weld Central, So now we're only going to play each team once. And then every school had to just pick up more non-conference games.
Got it. So, because last year, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you guys kind of almost play a home and away?
Within
a few days?
Yeah, it was usually a Thursday, Saturday, or it could have been like a Monday, Wednesday. But yeah, it was a home and away within just a couple days of each other.
Now, that's going to create a lot more diversity within the league. And I'll just put it out there. Playing Eaton only once instead of twice. Playing Resurrection only once. Playing Sterling only once. And substituting those with a Timnath, Wellington, who have never played a varsity sport, kind of changes things in the league, correct?
It does a little bit, because I know last year we took a lot of teams into the postseason just because we all played each other so much, and our winning percentages were pretty high. And so I think some teams definitely took advantage of that, and that helped get them to the postseason. This year is going to be a little different, and it's going to come down to your strength of schedule outside the conference. And so I know our athletic director, he does a really good job just scheduling solid teams. And so I really like our schedule, but we just got to take care of it one game at a time for sure.
Yeah, I like your schedule too. And, you know, I'm going to give your schedule a plug, but you're not going to get rewarded for it, I think, is, you know, you play 4A schools, but being a 3A team, you really don't get rewarded other than it makes your team better. I would love to see there be something in RPI when a 3A team played up that's recognized.
Yeah, I can make an argument both sides of it. At the end of the day, baseball is baseball. Try to beat the teams that are put in front of you. And if you don't like playing those 4A schools, then just don't schedule them. But I just like playing really good competition. And it might not help us in the RPI standings, but it's going to help us hopefully pass regular season into postseason.
Yeah, I totally get that, Coach. Hey, Coach, I want to just thank you for coming on today, and congratulations on the good start. Want to wish you the best this week over at Mountain View and Northridge, and I know you have your guys rolling, and one of those 3A teams, like always, will go deep into the playoffs. So, Casey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I always look forward to our conversations.
Thanks a lot. That's Casey Miller, the head coach at University High. And, boy, they just find a way. In his first 2 years, all he did was win state championships. You know, so just a fantastic program. Want to thank AMCO of Fort Collins and Loveland. And these cold days, as they keep going on, may take a toll on your car. If that's the case, visit Don at AMCO of Fort Collins and AMCO of Loveland. We will be back after these messages. Welcome back to Coach Speak. Well, it's always fun having this next gentleman in, whether it's via phone or in studio. But joining us from the LO Fiber Studios is Rick Meese, a longtime high school golf coach, coaches both the boys and the girls at Resurrection Christian. But this guy keeps up on all the kids in Northern Colorado. He knows the golfers, the ins and outs, both during the season, during the off season as well. Rick, welcome, and how are you, buddy?
Thanks, Coach. Great. Great to see you.
It is. You already got off to a start Saturday at Eagle Trace?
Correct.
Tell us about the tournament.
Sure. Well, we had our hand warmers, our overcoats, our hoodies. We pulled up in the parking lot. We were supposed to have an 8 o'clock shotgun. I said, that's not going to happen. Courses, you know, have frost.
Right.
So we pulled up in the parking lot. I think it was 28 degrees. So they delayed it 2.5 hours. We got off at 10:30. It was 42 degrees in the sunshine. No wind, so we can play in that.
Your girls are tougher than I am. I have this rule, Coach. and my Mendoza line is 50 degrees. If it's over 50 and no wind, I will go play golf.
Mine's 45.
If there's wind, then it has to be substantially, you know, warmer.
Totally agree.
But 42 degrees, and it's high school girls golf.
Yeah, and there were 108
tough
players there. That
tough young ladies. But you know, as far as you know, Title IX is equal as far as we have a boys golf season and we have a girls golf season. But the girls, they kind of get the short end of the draw with the weather.
Totally agree. I don't know if you remember last spring, but I don't think we had a golf tournament that the wind wouldn't blow on 40 miles an hour. Last spring was so windy. And you're right. It's only 45, 50 degrees, but you get that 40 mile an hour wind. Feels like it's 20. It's crazy. But, yeah, the girls are tough. They really are tough. The day before, so Eagle Trace doesn't have a driving range. So I put out a message to the girls, look, if you want to go to the driving range on Friday, because it's Saturday tournament, I'll meet you out at Rain Dance, and you can go hit balls. Well, I went out to Rain Dance at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the wind was blowing steady, and it was so cold. I thought, whew, nobody's going to show up. I had two girls show up, and I thought, oh, no. I got to take them to the driving range.
Now you got to go out there.
Oh, yeah. So they're tough. I mean, there's no way. I even asked one of the assistant pros. I said, look, I'll pay you to go down there with those girls. He had nothing to do with it.
So tell us about Eagle Trace.
Eagle Trace, we played it before. It was actually in pretty good shape. It suffers a lot of damage from the geese. They had only one green that was an automatic two-putt. It had a lot of chemical burns in it from, I think, probably a sweeper or something. But it's not that hard, of course. My number one, Riley Collins, because I think it only played like 5,500 yards, and Riley's long off the tee box. So she kind of dominated with her drive. She struggled a little bit in her short game because Riley can shoot in the 70s, and I think she shot 85. So it's not that hard of a course. There's not many OBs. There's some water and some hazard, but it's a good starting course for them.
And your other players, tell us about your squad this year.
Yeah, and what's really hard with my girls is what's great with my boys, I follow all my kids in the summertime because even some of my girls play summer junior PGA and JJAC. So I'm able to follow the girls and boys in the summertime, and the boys carry right over into golf season from summer. The girls, they're done after the summer program. So they got a layoff until spring starts for girls. So there's that lull in there that I have 15 girls out this year, and trying to get enough rounds in to where I can play some 1 through 15 is really hard with my girls because they're starting out pretty much zero. That I knew Riley would be a returning varsity player, would probably be our number one. After that, I had 6 freshmen come in that I'm familiar with. I'm trying to think. Karina Garcia, she actually was at my camp last summer. I actually played with Karina last year, and I knew she'd make my top four. We went out to Boomerang the first time with her, and from the girls' tee, she shot 82.
Wow.
I'm thinking, okay, Karina.
Okay, that's really good.
We lost our number one to a transfer. Abby Bell went to Fossil. But Riley's stepping in and shooting what Abby was able to shoot. So she'll take over that number one. And then from there, 3 through 15, I'm lost because we just haven't had the weather to
enough
get them
time,
out.
Yes.
Yeah, I need to know their potential. We did a lot of practice at Golf Dynamics with simulators, but you really can't tell what they're going to shoot out on the course. I had some girls come out and said, Coach, I've never played on a golf course. And Karis Reichert really surprised me.
And this is high school golf.
Yeah.
I mean, you get kids that didn't grow up with golf families, that didn't grow up on a course, but they have interest because maybe they've watched some golf on TV or they think this looks like fun. So they come out for high school golf.
And as you know, you got to have some athletic ability. I have a senior, Kayla, that was a gymnast, and she tore her rotator cuff. So she was done with gymnastics. Came out this year as a senior, and with her athletic ability, we put her into the simulator. And even, of course, you know, Derek, my swing coach with Golf Dynamics.
Derek Cordova.
Yeah.
Let's just give Derek a shout out because I think I've talked to you about this before. I took lessons from Derek a few years ago. Absolutely the best teacher I've ever had in anything.
I totally agree. He is, and he's so good with kids. But he got with Kayla, and he got her grip down. She's never really swung a golf club. And we had her that first session in 30 minutes. He said, do you believe that? And I said, you know what? She's got that athletic ability where she's got that turn and everything right. And she was kind of surprising. But I've never had her out on the golf course. So we'll have her out this Thursday at Mountain Vista. She's playing Mountain Vista of 9 holes this Thursday. So, but it's just trying to get – I need to get my top 5 for sure – pretty soon, because we go to Kissing Camels and Cheyenne Mountain in a couple of weeks, and that's my varsity kids that play those courses. So, and I really don't have it set yet.
So, Coach, is it do girls play the same amount of meets as the boys do in the fall, weather permitting?
Right. And they do. They're allowed 11. So varsity's allowed 11 tournaments.
11
times 18, whatever that figures out, like 198 holes. That's what they're allowed to play. What's great this year, and I heard you talk about with Coach Gary from Timnath Wellington, Kayla Gary, she's the head girls golf coach at Wellington and Timnath. Well, Wellington, Timnath freshmen, sophomores really aren't able to. They got one girl, I think, that can compete varsity. So Kayla this year, she set up 7 9-hole rounds between Collindale, Mountain Vista, and Southridge that I can take my my development.
Your sub-varsity players.
My sub-varsity players and go play 9 holes on a Thursday afternoon at noon. And what a great blessing to our program, because with 15 girls, that means that I'll have, you know, 7 or 8 girls that probably wouldn't play hardly at all that'll play 9 holes 7 times this summer or this spring.
Yeah, and you cannot get better at the game unless you actually are playing the game.
Exactly.
You can do all the simulators you want.
Exactly.
You can go to the driving range. You can go to the putting green. But until you get out on that course and just start playing rounds, it doesn't tell you a lot.
It doesn't. And that's a tough thing about so many new girls coming in, that I knew my returning girls where they were at. And then we have a lot of things that happen in the spring. I mean, we got spring break happens. We have kids that take vacation, which just happened. Our seniors go on mission trips. So we had 3 different mission trips going to Guatemala. So we had 20 kids going 3 different weeks in a row building houses down in Guatemala, which is great. But some of those are my golfers.
Well, and what people don't understand, probably a Resurrection more than any place, you can have spring break and the next week families go on vacation.
Correct.
Which drove me a little crazy at times. But didn't we just have a spring break?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but now we're going to wherever.
Yeah. Some of them go and do college visits. And there's a lot of – and, of course, then there's prom and all this other stuff. There's theater. Theater's an issue that I think our theater program is over the 1st of April. But 4 of my girls are in the play. So every night after school, they have play practice. So trying to work them in to find out.
That doesn't help the golf swing, does it?
No. So it's tough, but I love it.
Talk about some of the Patriot League, Coach, some of the teams, if you can, about, you know, how many players they have coming back and so forth.
Yeah, our big competition is going to be Berthoud. New to the league. We played them last year in regionals. They were in our region, and we lost to them by 2 strokes in region. But we won at state over them. We came in 6th. They came in 7th. Coach Hahn, a good friend of mine, he's got a pretty solid varsity team put together. They were at Eagle Trace also.
Whose son, by the way, was runner-up, I believe, in 5A golf past fall.
Yeah, and Dave's a great guy. He's a big help
sure
to
is.
Our program, too. Sterling just started a girls program this year. So Sterling's usually got good boys golf team. I don't know what their girls are going to be like. But then we got Timnath, Wellington, Eaton, Severance. Our Patriot League, it'll be us and Berthoud this year should be the competition.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a break here. I want to thank Martin Marietta, a leading provider of natural resource-based building materials. Martin Marietta provides the foundation upon which our communities improve. All right, back to Coach Speak and some good music. Micah back there, he's knocking it out there. That's the era of music right there, Louie.
Yeah.
Right?
Our day.
With me, Rick Meese, the girls coach at Resurrection Christian. Want to thank Casey Miller for joining us earlier. Casey, what a great job he's done with that university high baseball program. And, of course, the Patriot League just knocks it out. I think Resurrection's baseball team be pretty good this year, Rick.
They went down to Arizona and won three games. I don't know what the level of competition.
You never do, you know, but hey, you go down there, you play three games, it's a lot better to win them than it is to lose them.
For sure.
You know, so quickly, NCAA tournament coach, do you have anybody remaining in your bracket?
I do. I actually had Texas and Alabama reaching the Final Four.
Wow, you are in good shape.
After that, I kind of put Texas as one of my dark horses in that bracket.
Yes.
Of course, my heart was wanting to see Princeton and Fairleigh Dickinson play for the national championship.
Yeah. Well, we all have our winners. Hey, Colorado, thanks for joining Coach Speak. See you tomorrow.